news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. It is time for the Lawrence Business Magazine Show, and here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today I'm pleased to have Susan Tate, the Executive Director, and John Bullock, President of the Board of the Lawrence Arts Center.
Good morning,
Good
Ann.
Morning.
Good morning, Ann.
The Lawrence Arts Center actually was the cover of the first edition, our first publication of the Lawrence Business Magazine. So we're really excited to have them here, and I'm a big fan of what you guys do over there, one of my favorite places in Lawrence.
Thank you.
And let's get a little bit of personal history, because Susan, you've been at the Arts Center now for a little while, and you had worked at Van Gogh, and you've been a teacher. So give us, how did you actually get to be at the Arts Center?
I was a teacher at Lawrence High School for over 20 years, yeah. And although I didn't work at Van Gogh, I was on their board.
That's right,
and okay. A part of their capital campaign, and my husband and I continue to be very supportive of what they're doing at Van Gogh, mm-hmm. As a social service agency, deeply connected to art. And I was also involved at the Spencer Museum of Art, and those two volunteer experiences, plus my experience in public education, led me to be interested in the Art Center, which is a place in Lawrence where education, social service, art, and scholarship intersect. And mm-hmm. it was that intersection that drew me to the position.
Well, that's great. It's pretty amazing. Now, John, you have a little bit of a difference. So you're a lawyer in Lawrence, and you and your family moved back to Kansas about 5 years ago?
About three years ago.
Okay. Yeah. And so how did you get involved with the Lawrence Art Center?
Well, after we came back to Lawrence, my wife and I were invited to go to an event at the Art Center with some friends, and we went, and there was an art exhibition going on, mm-hmm. and we met a lot of interesting people there, and it seemed like the kind of place that would be really good for people who are new coming to this community to meet new friends from all walks of life. There are university professors, artists, people that work in various trades, people who work in white-collar industries. And so what we found very quickly is that there was something for everyone in our family. You know, there were performances, there were exhibitions, there were classes that my wife took, there were classes that my kids took. And I've always been a believer that when you're part of a community, it's important to support the kinds of organizations that not only that you patronize, but do good work in the community. So I started learning more about what the Art Center does. Not just the programming that it offers to its patrons, but also the outreach that the organization does into disadvantaged communities and communities where arts and culture are not necessarily as accessible. And so I felt like that was something I'd really like to put my shoulder behind and try mm-hmm. to help do a little bit of good through the good that the staff is doing through the Arts Center.
That's great. Yeah, it's a great way to meet a wide range of the community. That's one of the things I was actually Ann Evans, who was in here mm-hmm. last week with talking about Habitat for Humanity and Women Build, and she was one of the first faces we saw when she was at the Art Center
yes.
when we moved into town. So it's a great, great place. So let's talk a little bit about the Art Center itself, you guys, and how the whole process of all the different things that you guys do, as well as what we how you raise money to keep. Where's the money
sure.
come to keep the Art
sure.
Center going?
Well, first of all, Ann Evans founded the Art Center mm-hmm. with a small group of individuals and the City Commission in 1975 in the Carnegie Library Building.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our 37th year operating as a nonprofit community-based art center. And over these 37 years, the Art Center has evolved to have a very vibrant mission in three areas: performance, contemporary exhibitions, and arts education. And in those ways, we've been able to respond to the desires of artists to use the Art Center as a laboratory, a performance space, a space to work out their own interests in their work, and also to respond to not only our community, but the region. And we really see ourselves in this building that's now 11 years old as a major arts resource for Northeast Kansas and the mm-hmm. entire I-70 corridor. This is our audience, plus a national audience.
That's great. Now you get so this was started. Now it was built 11 years ago. The new center, right?
Over at 940 New Hampshire,
right?
Yes.
Which is wonderful. If you have not been in that facility, you need to go. It's so it's
one such of a
beautiful
one of the
place.
Things I've learned in my almost 3 years on this job is that this is a unique facility in this country. Mm-hmm. There are certainly towns who have community art centers, who have some exhibition space or dance schools or theaters. Mm-hmm. But to have this building, which is 40,000 square feet of exhibition space, classroom space, and performance space, mm-hmm. That is a nonprofit community place. Mm-hmm. Ours is owned by the city. I think one of the building that is.
Right.
But the nonprofit is private and separate from the city. And to your question about our funding,
right? Yeah, let's talk about
although
that.
The building is owned by the city, mm-hmm. The city does not contribute more than 6% of our operating expenses.
Okay,
we have a budget that employs 11 people full time and over 150 contractors, artists who come in to design sets, teach classes, choreograph a play, hang shows, lecture, and so on. And this budget, the budget for our teaching, performance, and exhibitions program, is really driven by tuition and by donations. Over a third of our budget comes from donations. We are in the only state in the union that doesn't have state arts funding.
Okay.
And because we have no state arts funding, we have no federal funding, which would come from the National Endowment for the Arts, who would match our state funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really driven by not only our mission in arts education and the resulting tuition, but by very passionate individuals, foundations, businesses. John Bullock, who's with me today, is with Stevens and Brand, who are our neighbors downtown, but also are supporters of the Lawrence Arts Center and believe in what we are adding to the community and believe that a place like the Lawrence Arts Center makes a more vibrant place to live. And they contribute the time and the talent of their partners, and also as financial supporters of the Art Center.
Now, I do want to get more into like kind of the federal, and the Kansas as a bigger the arts community, the state of Kansas, and how it works economically. But specifically with the Art Center, so you get a third of your funding through donations and through for the classes. Then do you also get grant? Do you apply for grants, or do you get? You also have. Where did the other funding come from? I know you have some fundraisers, too.
We do. Actually, over half of our funding comes from tuition.
Okay.
Approximately one-third of our funding comes from benefits. We have two major benefits a year, plus some smaller benefits. Our art auction, which will be on April 13th, is going to be in its 33rd year.
Yes.
That's very important for us. And we also have many individual donors. We are in the process of writing grants all the time. Mm-hmm. And we raise approximately one-third of our budget from the combination of grants, corporate support, individual support, memberships.
Okay.
And I might just add, this is a really interesting model for communities that we're seeing all over the United States now, where through a public and private partnership, the municipality here, the city of Lawrence, and increasingly Douglas County itself are providing support that's critical, that helps us be able to operate. And yet we're supplementing that with private donations as well as our own revenue. And so we feel, and what communities across the country are finding, is this is a very sustainable model where the people who patronize the Art Center actually help support it, and the city provides critical infrastructure and other forms of support, and that benefits everyone. That benefits not only the people who come to the Art Center, but it helps us attract new businesses to the community where they will come and bring their executives through and show what the Art Center has to offer as part of a way to recruit new talent to the region and also as a way to recruit new business to the region. And so that's something that we feel proud of in not just doing what we do, but also helping the community develop and be a stronger place for everyone.
No, and I think that's really valid, too, because one of the things that about Lawrence, I think we pride ourselves on being, you know, a very, you know, having a lot of art. You know, I was telling them before, we had our Parks and Recs on last week. We have beautiful parks and the art, but the arts community, I think, is very important to for our community with because you have music performances there. You have three theaters there.
We have two theaters,
right? And then the children's preschool, which my son went to, which is wonderful. So it's kind of just talk about. I know that you have some information on the research on what art does in the learning process, as well as art as an economic motivator, or way of helping your local economy. Let's talk about that in bigger terms.
We know that students who have a background that is very rich in the arts are tending to become more innovative thinkers. This can be music, performance of any kind, dance, visual arts. Their standardized test scores are higher. They are more likely to see themselves as patrons of the arts. They're more likely to be involved in political discussions. They're more likely to be involved in their communities in all ways as they grow older. Linda Raymond, who is the founder of our arts-based preschool, an award winner who has been invited around the country to speak about our arts-based preschool, knows as well as anyone in the country what the sort of kinesthetic learning that we do, that we teach in our preschool, the creative thinking, the innovative uses of materials are creating the thinkers that we want in a workforce for the 21st century.
Right, because everybody always talks about, you know, creative thinking, but you can't, but you need to have the stimulus in order to nurture that creative thinking.
You do, and you need to be able to try and fail. You need to be able to use materials that are unexpected in ways that aren't prescribed by someone else. And those patterns that are taught in a preschool, such as the Lawrence Arts Center preschool, never go away. That that habit of believing that you can solve problems.
Well, and we see more and more that the economy is driven by innovation now, more so than it has ever been. And, you know, with all the talk in the presidential election about creating jobs, you know, the jobs of the future are most likely going to be jobs that require innovation and intellect. And that's not to say we won't have manufacturing jobs and other sort of skilled labor, but when we're equipping our children to be meaningful contributors in the national and global economy, what all this research that Susan's talking about supports is that the ability to think creatively and to be innovative is going to be critical to the success of our children and then by extension our nation.
We have in our country adopted an acronym that is meant to encourage our race to the top, that is so that American students can contribute with their peers around the world in science, technology, engineering, and math. And the acronym is STEAM for those four words, science, technology, engineering, and math. But there is also a grassroots movement that has really been adopted around the country and which has influenced our curriculum at the Lawrence Arts Center, which is taking STEM to STEAM, meaning science, technology, engineering, art, and math. We have developed a curriculum that fully integrates all five of those disciplines, believing that they're actually, it's only a false separation in the first place. That, you know, that this ability to think in an innovative way is absolutely integral to every aspect of science, technology, engineering, and math. And our curriculum reflects that, whether it's in a ceramic studio, whether we're teaching dance and the physics that is associated with movement, photography studio, digital media, in every way we are attempting to develop a curriculum that integrates these concepts.
That's great. One of the things, you know, everybody talks about, where's, you know, the next Steve Jobs, right? So talk about innovation and those sort of thinking
this is
of,
it.
You know, creating all those things and allowing people to, you know, and never, nobody, not everybody has to be the next Steve Jobs, but just in your small little world that you're dealing in, if you can have creative thinking and try to solve problems in a different way, you I think you win, and we all win.
Right.
And, you know, and there's some other things that we do, too, that I think are part of this piece, which is the outreach. And, you know, we have a lot of at-risk communities in our town and in our county, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, some of these kids who are out there, you know, are going through some difficult times. And what I was actually surprised to learn when I got involved with the Arts Center is how the Arts Center is reaching out to those communities. And to give an illustration, you know, we have a youth theater program. Well, they recently did a play about eating disorders, you know, and they've done plays about bullying. And so these kids who come into these programs, they're acting, they're joking around, they're being with their friends, they're having fun, and yet they are also having a conversation about a social issue in a way that we hope is supportive and will help facilitate their ability to speak up, get the help they need. And we're doing that in other ways. We're going out to rural communities in Kansas that don't have an arts center or an arts program, and we're providing arts education to those kids. And there's many other examples. And so whether we're preparing the next Steve Jobs or just helping with a hand up to a kid in need, that whole spectrum is something that's very satisfying for me, at least, to be a part of at the Arts Center.
That's great. Well, we're going to come back here. I'm here with Susan Tate, the Executive Director, and John Bullock, President of the Board for the Lawrence Arts Center, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the outreach when we come back.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
I'm voting to re-elect Senator Marcy Francisco.
I'm voting to re-elect Senator Marcy Francisco.
She's good with budgets.
She's willing to make tough choices.
She understands our priorities.
Marcy voted to restore
and enhance dental care of Lawrence.
KLWN. It's time to return to the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, here's Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Susan Tate, Executive Director, and John Bullock, President of the Board for the Lawrence Arts Center. And we've been talking about the Arts Center and all that it does and how it grows and how it's funded. But one of the things that, John, you were talking about, too, before we broke, was about the kind of the outreach programs and how what you were doing here in Lawrence, it's not just for Lawrence. It's kind of how you're reaching out to and making sure that a lot of people get services and get access to the arts. So let's talk a little bit about that.
We have a very robust outreach program in Douglas County that includes social service agencies such as Head Start, Haskell Indian Nations, Little Nations Preschool, CASA, Big Brothers Big Sisters. We do arts programming at the Juvenile Detention Center. And we have a scholarship program at the Arts Center that makes sure all children and teenagers have access to what we have to offer. We believe in it, and we believe in it more than ever because we know that this arts programming is preparing children and teenagers for working, as we've established, in creative industries. We don't know what the jobs are going to be over the next few decades, but we know that business leaders are saying what they need most are quick thinkers, innovators, and people ready to work in a creative capacity. So children and teenagers who come to the Lawrence Arts Center are learning design, digital media. They're having the opportunity to create portfolios of visual work, which are required in schools, whether they want to study engineering or architecture, not just fine art. Mm-hmm. We know that more colleges are expecting that students have a creative portfolio, almost regardless of what field they're planning to study. They're looking at ways teenagers think. Mm-hmm. And it is our mission to fill in the gaps for any children who might not otherwise have access to the humanities and visual and performing arts in all areas. And we work closely mm-hmm. with public schools and private schools to provide what budgets don't allow them to provide. We hire teachers who also work in the public schools, and we've designed a curriculum that is really aligned with what schools are doing and complements portfolio development, for example.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Now, when one of the things we talked about economically, there has been a lot with the economy the last several years. There's been a lot of cuts, and Kansas we've cut our arts budget, and we no longer have an arts commission. But you had said earlier, which I didn't realize, that we were the only state in the country that didn't have an arts commission. So how does this affect what can be done in our state, and what does that mean exactly, that not having an arts commission?
Because we don't have an arts commission, which was cut for budgetary considerations 2 years ago, mm-hmm. We do not receive matching funds from the National Endowment for the Arts. So this immediately means a $700,000 loss, in matching funds. Mm-hmm. We also lost funding from the Mid-America Arts Alliance, which is harder to calculate, but that's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars loss to arts organizations in the state. Douglas County arts organizations were routinely receiving somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000 in funding through the Kansas Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts.
Okay.
So for our county, which was one of the largest recipients of funding from the Kansas Arts Commission, that's what that loss represents. Mm-hmm. For some small arts organizations, not only in Douglas County, but in the other 104 counties, the loss of the Kansas Arts Commission meant that possibly the only arts organization for that county was not able to make it. And mm-hmm. We know that these organizations have been closing around the state or really struggling to keep their doors open. It's harder to calculate what it means in terms of reputation to the state. As John was saying, We know that many corporations, when they're moving, are looking for quality of life in addition to other incentives to move wherever they're moving. And we believe that in Douglas County, where we've kept a very vibrant cultural life, that remains an important attraction. Mm-hmm. We were walking through the Art Center yesterday with Greg Williams, who's the CEO of the Lawrence Chamber of Commerce, and discussing the fact that in competing with other towns, other college towns, for example, mm-hmm. Lawrence's, as John said, public and private contribution to a very rich cultural life can put us ahead in mm-hmm. at least in that particular category when businesses are considering Lawrence as a destination.
Now, I know that that's one thing, too, when people have come in and you said, like, when Lawrence, like, when they're trying to recruit people to Lawrence for the hospital. I also know that Topeka's brought people here, too, to the Lawrence, check out Lawrence, but they have people living here. When people come through, what do they say? How do they react when they come to the Arts Center?
Well, it's really... And this is what I see when I go to the Art Center. You know, so what we'll see is, for example, Hill's Pet Foods is a big supporter of the Art Center. They might be trying to recruit top executives from internationally, from Germany, from London, from other parts of the country. Or for example, if a manufacturing plant is thinking about locating here, they're going to be looking at what are the schools like, what kinds of parks and rec offerings do we have, and what kinds of cultural and arts opportunities are available. And so... And as I think you mentioned, the hospital, when they're attempting to attract top physicians to come to our community, they'll bring them to the Art Center. What you might see in the Art Center on any given day is little children hard at work in the preschool. You might see teenagers dancing in the dance studio, ceramicists working on the potter's wheel, staging a production in the theater. In fact, this weekend we'll be staging the Three Penny Opera, which we have the female lead is an Art Center summer theater graduate who's gone off to Los Angeles and had a big career and is coming back to lead that production. It's going to be really exciting. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee.
And I bet there's tickets still available? Susan?
There are tickets still available for the Three Penny Opera, as John said, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a terrific performance.
LawrenceArtsCenter.org, correct?
Yes, LawrenceArtsCenter.org. It's directed by Rick Averill and with our Free State Liberation Orchestra.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. So these people come through and they see these kinds of things. And mm-hmm. and along with the Lead Center and lots of other great cultural offerings we have here in town, they see that this is the kind of place that they can live, that mm-hmm. their employees can live, that they will have opportunities that maybe other towns that are offering tax incentives or infrastructure improvements, which we're, you know, a lot of people in the business community want to try to offer those things too, but we need to up our game if we're going to mm-hmm. truly be competitive with other towns to attract the kinds of primary jobs and to drive some economic development for our town. And so when people come through, they see that, they recognize that, then they turn around and support the Art Center, mm-hmm. and we support their families and their employees here in the community.
Well, one of the things, though, when you're talking about budget cuts and stuff, that, you know, they would say, well, you know, it's just art, you know, we have other things that are other priorities. So what do you say to people say, well, you know, there's other things that are more important? Why is that a misnomer?
If you're speaking about more or less important, mm-hmm. I would say that the arts, which is sort of an opaque phrase, but just mm-hmm. very broadly defined as the ways human beings think about themselves, tell stories about themselves, and understand one another, mm-hmm. whether it's through stories, as in the theater, which is stories, mm-hmm. Or making paintings, also stories, and the way we're expressing ourselves. I think that art allows us to be human, allows us access to one another that has never been more important and is extremely crucial to a democratic process. But mm-hmm. if you're saying we can barely afford to keep our schools open, if you're speaking in terms of dollars, I would say that arts are extremely important for the local and national economy. Mm-hmm. According to Americans for the Arts study that just came out in September, the typical arts attendee spends almost $25 per person per event, and that doesn't include dinner, hotel, et cetera. Okay. When someone comes from outside one county to another county to attend an art event, that amount doubles because they're more likely to be eating and spending the night.
Okay.
I think for our county, as you mentioned, Lawrence identifies itself so deeply as an arts community or a cultural cornerstone that cultural tourism for us in Lawrence is absolutely essential. And arts travelers tend to be a really ideal tourist for a town. Mm-hmm. They're tending to shop more, spend more money on where they stay, eat in nicer restaurants, and also shop in locally owned stores. And the U.S. Department of Commerce reports that the percentage of international travelers who go to museums, art centers, theater, has continued to grow even during a very difficult economy over the last 5 years.
That's interesting. That's great. So so what you're saying is arts can actually be, is it actually a job creation? It actually brings jobs and helps the economy.
Yes.
And I would add it's a community builder, mm-hmm. you know, and this is a flows from the kinds of things mm-hmm. that Susan's talking about. You know, we want a strong, rich, vibrant mm-hmm. community. We want to help at-risk kids. We want to make sure that our children are getting the best possible education they can get. And whatever your views are about the role of government in doing all of those things, we're certainly there to help fill some gaps. You know, mm-hmm. we go into the public schools and we help with their arts programs. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we go into these remote places in other parts of the state. We go into the social services organizations that Susan mentioned, and so it's a program that strengthens the entire community, because these people who become more empowered through their experiences in our programs then go on to be more productive, contributing members of the community, which benefits everyone.
One of my favorite programs at the Lawrence Arts Center is our Summer Youth Theater, and the star of our Three Penny Opera, as John said, grew up at the Arts Center studying theater. But in a 10 to 12 week period in the summer, we will have 250 middle school, high school kids at the Arts Center for 6 to 8 hours a day, studying lighting design, making sets, painting, learning choreography, learning lines, working with professional teaching artists to create a product, which at the end we will share with the community. We'll do 4 plays for Summer mm-hmm. Youth Theater. And they're learning to make do with very little, to think creatively, to solve problems, imagining an end result. And they're learning a work ethic and a discipline that is what is needed. They're not mostly going to be actors or dancers,
right.
But what they're going to do is imagine a problem that needs to be solved over a long period of time and solve it and present it to the public. And mm-hmm. these skills are absolutely vital. And of those kids, if there are 250 kids, 50 to 60 of them will be there with financial assistance that's provided by our community. And there, they're completely mixing it up with mm-hmm. kids from all around the region who are driving to this destination to have this experience.
Yeah, that is great. I mean, they're learning teamwork, and they're learning how many ways you can, what things you can do with cardboard.
Yes.
How many? Who knew there was so much
yes,
you could do with cardboard?
And bubble wrap.
Yes, exactly. It's a lot of fun. Well, one of the things, too, that Susan, I know you've been working with trying to there's some money there now that they're trying to reestablish an art commission now so we can get some funding back. Is that true?
That is a goal of some members of our state legislature, okay. of arts organizations around the country. And so although we no longer have a Kansas Arts Commission, there is currently $700,000 appropriated for what is now known as the Kansas Creative Industries Commission,
okay.
housed in the Department of Commerce, directed by Peter Hasso, who was the former director of the Kansas Film Commission.
Okay.
And I'm a part of that strategic planning group. And our hope is that we will be able to design a process that the National Endowment for the Arts will approve and therefore reestablish their matching gift to Kansas. So if mm-hmm. if we get this infrastructure in place, if we keep the $700,000 intact and in that line, then the National Endowment for the Arts, by their next funding go around, will match that for the state.
That's good. Well, I think it's interesting that you're saying it's through the Department of Commerce.
Yes.
Which I think is an interesting thing to have the arts in the commerce. So, and when we're going to actually take a break here, I'm here with Susan Tate and John Bullock from the Lawrence Arts Center, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this funding here when we come back.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
I'm Anthony Brown. I'm a husband and a father. I've been a school teacher and a decorated United States Marine.
1350.
Call 842-1212.
Call us now, Pizza Shuttle.
Morning low is 44, clouds on the increase, still our gusty west winds. We've got our wind advisory, winds gusting to 40, high of 61 this afternoon. We'll be mostly cloudy, still breezy, 43 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, gradually clearing, still windy, high 61. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
944 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lord's Business Magazine show. And once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Susan Tate, Executive Director, and John Bullock, President of the Board for the Lawrence Arts Center. I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. Online, you can find out who our next guest will be on the radio show, and you can submit questions and comments for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and like us on Facebook, where you can also find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So one of the things we were talking about just economically here, and then I want to get into some of the wonderful programs you actually have at the Arts Center. A little more specifically, we've been talking a lot in generalizations here, but we, economically, the getting this money back, trying to establish this the new commission to get federal funding back will help Lawrence, help the whole state, and this is something that we're working through the Department of Commerce, which I think is pretty interesting to see the art and commerce
That's
aspect
right.
of it.
I think in this move, you see the state of Kansas embracing the concept of creative industries as an important part of our workforce, because this includes designers in all fields, architects, and people who are creatively working, not just individual painters in studios, but people who are really creatively working and thereby having a major positive impact on our economy.
That's great. And one of the things about the economy is we were talking about, you're saying the business model for the Arts Center is 65% of your operating budget comes from the fees, and is that correct? The
approximately. Approximately, like our tuition.
Tuition and fees. And I can speak personally from that, of having my son he went to preschool there. And then my son and I also took a pottery class there, a family pottery class with Holly.
Great class.
She was great. And what I found was great is the teachers there work with, there was a wide range of people in our class. I had had a lot of pottery experience. My son hadn't had any, and I can't teach him. So it was great to go there and have this experience with him. But one of the things, you have so many different classes.
We do.
So, and so how do you decide what classes you're offering and what things that you do to the Art Center bring in? How does that work?
That's such a great question. In two ways, really. Mm-hmm. One is we have a sequential and fully articulated curriculum in seven different visual arts, ceramics, painting, metalwork, etc. That begins with preschool and continues through high school and continues to become more rigorous for students who'd like to develop a portfolio, for example. Mm-hmm. These classes are taught by working artists who've been trained to be teachers. And the courses follow the Kennedy Center standards for visual and performing arts. So this is in dance and theater as well as visual arts.
Okay.
It's a terrific curriculum that continues through our arts institutes
for
high school.
I didn't realize it was so structured. I mean, it's so planned out.
That is
a free-for-all.
No, it is. I'm very proud of our curriculum under the development of Margaret Weisbrod Morris, who is our Director of Programs and Partnerships. However, we also have classes that any beginner at any age can experiment with. This is true for kids, for adults who might say to me, almost every day someone says to me, I used to paint, I used to be a photographer, I used to dance, and I would like to try it again. And the Art Center is a great place to try it again, to try it for the first time, in a very risk-free, fairly inexpensive environment. And sometimes our financial aid program makes it possible for people who otherwise wouldn't be able to try it.
That's great. Now, so that's how you kind of, with your classes, you follow this curriculum. But then the one of the things at the Arts Center, you have a wide range of, when you have exhibitions and shows.
Yes.
I know, and Ben works with on these.
Ben Alvers, who is the nationally recognized ceramics artist, he was recently featured in Ceramics Monthly magazine.
He's got beautiful work.
He does. He is our exhibitions director, and he works with our board and our exhibitions advisory committee to curate seasons of shows at the Lawrence Arts Center in contemporary visual art, two-dimensional work and three-dimensional work. We have five exhibition spaces. We rotate shows on approximately an eight-week basis, and we currently have the Orton International Cone Box Show, which in the short version is a group of very small ceramic pieces that were chosen by international jurors that opened at the Lawrence Arts Center, work by artists from all around the world. It's very interesting to see. And we also have the work of an artist named Luc Dubois, who has just arrived in Lawrence last night. We'll be speaking at the Art Center tonight at 7 o'clock. His show, Hindsight is 2020, is timed for the political season and consists of a series of letterpress works that look like eye charts. They're chronological, beginning with George Washington's State of the Union Address, continuing through President Obama's State of the Union Address. They show us the most frequently used word in each State of the Union Address as the largest type on the top of the eye chart, continuing down to less frequently used words on the bottom line. Fascinating. It's a fascinating way to mine information over a period of two plus centuries. He's also created a new video piece, which is an integration of the acceptance speeches at the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention of Mitt Romney, given by Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And he, what Luc Dubois does is, as I said, mine speeches for words, and he discovered that 85% of the words in Mitt Romney and Barack Obama's acceptance speeches were the same. So he made a video loop, which he actually designed a software program that when you step into the gallery at the Art Center, you can see that they're almost saying the exact same words. And he's kind of mashed that up so you can see this happening.
Well, that's
cool. Not what I saw happening on Tuesday night.
I don't think it happened on Tuesday. This is their acceptance speech at their conventions.
All right. Noted.
Well, you can use the same words. It's the arrangement, though.
Exactly. That's what you see is so fascinating. I mean, this is really like, it's a really fascinating social and kind of linguistic thing to see what's happening in our gallery. And you know, I love it because we're in the information age, right? We're saturated with information. We're interested in words. And what these visual pieces do is kind of give back to us what is really happening in words in a visual way.
And this is kind of indicative of a trend and actually a philosophy that we've adopted at the Art Center. While we've talked a lot about our local programming and community involvement, we're also trying to make the Art Center more relevant and engaged more in a regional and national conversation about art. And so what Ben and his group have really done is sought out really interesting artists from all over the country, some of the most creative, innovative people that are doing artwork nowadays. And some of it you may love and some of it you may not like, but what we hope is that it will provoke a conversation. And, you know, if you're in the gallery with a friend or a new friend, that you might talk about what you're seeing, and it would be part of this community building that I've talked about. But what we hope will happen is that people will see that the Art Center's exhibitions are so interesting that they will drive over from Johnson County, that they will come over from Topeka or Manhattan, the way that our residents drive to those places to see what their cultural offerings are. And that makes this a more interesting place. And it, as we've said throughout the talk today, helps drive our economy and the culture of our local community.
We had this past weekend a national ceramic symposium. And we have a very strong commitment to visiting and resident artist program and a great deal of support for that from people in our community. And our ceramic symposium brought six ceramics artists from around the country to teach at the Art Center for two full days and to lecture at the Art Center for two full days. They came, they stayed with board members and friends. And they worked, they taught, they lectured, but they brought students in from around the country to see their techniques and to learn from them. And they stayed in homes, but they ate and they shopped in downtown Lawrence, as did the people who came to the symposium.
That's wonderful. Now, the symposium, I think that's really interesting. You brought out all these different people talking about different ways.
That's right.
That's really fascinating. But I've also seen, I think 8 weeks it's a great time because you really have you have a lot of change over there. You have a lot of things moving, and with the different exhibitions and stuff. And one of the things that I've noticed is sometimes you go in there, like you said with the dialogue, you go in there and you see things, you're like, wow, that's really cool, that's neat, that's fascinating. Then other times you go in like, well, that is just weird, you know. But it's still interesting. It's like, you know, so is what is art? You know, that's kind of
what is art. And another question we have, which might or might not be of interest to anyone else, is how much do you explain it? Because yes, sometimes you walk in and you say, as I have in other places, that is just weird. And so we discuss, you know, how much do you explain an artist's intent with a piece? How much do you leave questions? Because really, we want to raise questions about technique, about art, about culture and politics, more than we want to provide answers. But we also want to provide access points so so people can have these jumping off points for conversations.
So there's different, how do you, is that just a, you guys internally work that, you work with the artist? I mean, how do you decide?
I think there
things?
Are ongoing discussions about that. One artist will want no explanation. Okay. One artist will want no prices on the wall. Although the pieces might be for sale, you have to go to the front desk to ask, are these pieces for sale? Some artists will like to be very explicit about exactly what they intended this piece to mean, and others will not. And then we have discussions about what kind of platform can we provide for people to understand. And then any individual people have different ways of approaching an exhibit. You know, some people go into an exhibit, whether it's a natural history exhibit or an art exhibit, and read every word on the wall.
Right.
And others others don't.
That's true.
There are many ways to experience exhibitions.
Right. And it's, and obviously it isn't the same for everybody. So it's how you, it's, and everybody brings their own perceptions to the situation. Yeah. So
we've also used, as in our Baron Woolman exhibition, which you and Steve helped with, we used audio components. So people could dial a number or use a QR code and listen on their cell phones to a song to go along with it. Baron Woolman's explanation of exactly where he was and what he thought when he took the photograph.
That was fun, but that was a really accessible thing when you're talking about rock and roll. So that was kind of fun. It was really that was a lot of fun.
Well, and your husband Steve Herzog, being a photographer, really made it interesting, the relationship he had with Baron Woolman and his work with those Rolling Stone covers. That was really fun.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Well, and what I thought was interesting about that show, and I think what's interesting is getting people into the Arts Center that hadn't been there before.
Yes.
And because I think once you go there and you see that exhibit and just see that space, see the photography, all the photography studios, see the see your ceramics, see the dance, all the and all these kids out there playing and stuff. It's just wonderful to see how many different things and how many people are there.
Yes.
How many students? I think you maybe did you say how many students go through the Arts Center every year? Do you know?
I do know. We have around 4,500 students in a year.
Wow, that's a lot. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, too, is that, so now if people want to find out about the Arts Center, so you, and I know you have a whole patron thing, too, so if people can contribute, so you, you work with patrons to raise money for the Arts Center, you have sponsorships. How can people find out and get more involved with the Arts Center?
Our website is lawrenceartcenter.org. Our phone number is 785-843-2787. We have an e-blast, which comes out every week, that will provide updates, and it's easy to sign up for either by calling or by checking our website. We also have a catalog we publish four times a year, and our next catalog will be coming out at the end of November.
Okay. And that'll be like the spring?
That will be, that will include our offerings for January through May.
Okay.
In classes, performance, and exhibitions.
Now, how, now that's,
we,
I know you
we also have a
Arts
Facebook
Center, right?
page.
Yeah, you have a Facebook page.
And a Twitter, I think we have a Twitter account as well.
And what we'll do is we will put your website on our site in case people, but it's pretty easy to find. Well, I wanted to just thank you guys. This is interesting. I love the Arts Center. And if you haven't been to the Arts Center, you should definitely go down there, check it out, and try to make it a regular routine because things do change down there. See what performances are going on with the theater and just see what's if there's something interesting or weird in the exhibit hall to check out. It's always fun. So I hope we learned a little something new about the Arts Center, and they should visit it soon. Our listeners can get links to the site LawrenceArtsCenter.org or at the LawrenceBusinessMagazine.com site. You can like us on Facebook for updates. Each Thursday at 9 a.m., we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And I believe we can all agree that the Lawrence Arts Center is definitely a positive thing in our community. And I really thank you guys for all that you do. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much.
So Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on the KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
Fox News Radio Update is next here at KLWN Lawrence.
I'm County Commissioner Nancy Thelman. I represent not just Lawrence, but Baldwin City, Vinland, Eudora, and Lecompton, too. I started programs for our rural towns that create jobs and build on their unique strengths, including small towns.